That was our interview with the CEO of Craigslist. This is the Motley Fool Radio Show, and I'm David Gardner. In light of the week's events, we're taking a break from our usual show, and instead, we're sharing some of our favorite interviews from shows past. And we next want to present to you an interview we did last year with the author of the celebrated book, What Color Is Your Parachute? The book that's helped so many people find a job and a career. What do I want to do with my life? It's a question that most of us have asked ourselves at one point or another. Whether you're looking at starting a career or just changing jobs, our next guest has a lot of experience in helping you figure out what career is best for you. Richard Nelson Bowles is the author of the classic career book, What Color Is Your Parachute? A practical manual for job hunters and career changers. He joins us from his home in Alamo, California. Dick Bowles, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, David.
So, Dick, it's been 35 years now since you first published What Color's Your Parachute. How is today's job market different from when your book first came out?
Well, what's most profound and most obvious to me, because I've been following the job market for 35 years, is that there isn't much that's different on the inside. There's only differences in the cosmetic face of job hunting. For example, you don't typically think of going to want ads in newspapers today, although many people do, of course, but everyone who wants to be with it in terms of the new job hunt in the 21st century says, I'm going to go on the internet. But all the internet is, the job postings and so on there, are just the same classifieds they found in the newspaper. They've just been transferred to a different medium. And they, incidentally, they have exactly the same rate of success, which is about 5% of people who go using ads actually find a job as a result. That was exactly the percentage for classified ads in the newspaper. In fact, I was at a party once, and there was a very drunk man there who used to run an employment agency. And I said, you know, I've just been doing research. This is when Parachute was relatively new. And I said, I've been doing research, and it says you used to run an employment agency, didn't you? And he said, yeah. And I said, the study said only 5% of people that go to ads actually find a job. And he says, oh, no, come on, that can't be right. No, it's not more than 2%.
In vino veritas.
In vino veritas, exactly. So over the years, you know, by keeping my ears open, and so on, I've detected the changes in the job market and the way in which people do the job hunt. But nonetheless, it still comes down to you have to know what it is you're looking for, and you have to have different names for what it is you think you can do and do well. And you have to get out there and use contacts, or networking as it's typically called, and not put much confidence in your resume, because only one out of 1,470 resumes on average that are floating around out there in the world of work ever lead to a job. And that was true 35 years ago, and it's still true.
There seems to be a lot of timelessness that runs through your work and your thinking. And another timeless lesson, I think it's really the goal of education in many cases, is self-knowledge. It's getting to know yourself well enough so that, darn it, before you go out and look for a job, you're looking for something that's going to work for you. Dick, what have you learned about Americans' quest for self-knowledge here in the last 35 years?
Well, I don't know that people ever had a firm grasp upon this truth, but I can tell you they sure don't now. Mm-hmm. And that truth is that we're all like players in a symphony. And that is to say, in this life, we each have a part to play in terms of what gets done and what kinds of progress we see in the world and in history. And by being aware of that, or that metaphor, and realizing I really need other people, I'm part of a community when I go out to look for work, and I'm part of a community when I find a job, and I have to be very conscious of what it is that other people are contributing to the general work that mm-hmm. we are called to do, and not think that everything is about me. That's a truth that has been very much lost today. What we find is people so interested in self-fulfillment. I met a woman once. She was sitting in a bus stop, and I sat down beside her, and she looked old and wise. And she pointed up to the hills above us, and she said, you know, there used to be a mine up there. And I said, oh? And she said, yeah, and my father worked there. And she said, my father was in line. They announced they were hiring, so there was a mining shack where the guy signed up people for the day, and he had a certain quota, and she said they all got in line when they heard the news and waited for their turn, and said finally my father, it was his turn to go inside the shack, and the employing agent said to him, "Boy, are you lucky. This is the last job I have to give out today." And my father looked at the man in the eyes, and he said, "Look, I only have three children. The guy right behind me that I struck up a conversation with has five children. Give the job to him. I'll get another one." Mm. And she said, "Can you imagine that spirit today?" I said, "No, it's really hard." So I do think that's been very much a big difference in the way people see themselves and their self-knowledge. It's sort of self-knowledge because it's all about me, me, me. And I think it's self-knowledge in order to find out what part of the symphony you are actually playing in.
How did you hit on the analogy or the metaphor of a parachute? In fact, having heard what you just said, I'm wondering why you didn't title the book, "What Instrument Should You Be Playing?" But instead you chose, "What Color Is Your Parachute?" When did you first come up with that simple concept?
It was very funny. I was at a meeting. I used to work for nine different Protestant denominations, and I also helped out the Roman Church and the Jewish community and so forth. And one day we were having a meeting, and I was with all my confrères from all the different disciplines and all the different denominations, and I was sitting near the blackboard, and this was our semi-quarterly meeting. And one of the men there said, "Dick, you're near the blackboard. You write down what we need to talk about today." And I said, "Okay." So I went over to the blackboard. Actually, I just leaned back in my chair and took a piece of chalk. And they said, "We have to decide on our next meeting date." So I wrote, "Next meeting date." They said, "We have to decide who's going to go to Pocatello, Idaho, and talk to Willie." Willie was a very firebrand kind of minister, and he's always in trouble with the administration of the college. And so I wrote Pocatello, and they said, "And we have to talk about these guys who have to bail out." And I wrote, "What color is your parachute?" And they all burst into laughter. I remembered the laughter at this idiotic thing I had just made up out of the top of my head. And I thought, I'm going to title the book, "What Color Is Your Parachute?" So I self-published it. I didn't have to kowtow to anyone as to the selection of a title. When people heard that it was going to be published commercially, they asked Phil Wood what title he was going to slap on it. And I remember another publisher was competing for the book at that time. He said, "I'm going to call it The Job Book." Well, I would have sold about 35 copies if it had been called The Job Book. but this stuck in people's minds. One guy told me, "I'm going to need a copy of your book, Sky Blue Sky Shoot." So people didn't have to remember the exact title. They just remembered there was some funny, funny title. Uh-huh. And I slapped that on the book. And I saw an interview with my publisher. We're still friends, and this is 35 years later. I saw an interview with my publisher, and he said, "Had this book died, it would have been that title that killed it. Now that this book lives, it is that title that saves it." Mm.
Very well put. And I guess the contrary nature of being a fool, the fool in me appreciates that you never actually talk about parachutes anywhere in any of these books, right?
No, that's right.
Dick, in your work and really your perspective, do you see things more from the standpoint of the prospective employee, or do you see employees more from the standpoint of the prospective employer?
I learned a long time ago you have to be an advocate if you're going to do the kind of work I do, which is becoming a repository of wisdom, which other people share with you, and you then turn around and share with people that are looking for work or trying to define what they want to do with their life. You've got to make up your mind whether you're going to be the advocate for the employee, the job hunter, or whether you're going to be the advocate for the employer. And I made up my mind 35 years ago, I was always going to be the advocate for the employee. You have to know what the employer wants, and you have to know how the employer job hunts, because you've got to use the same avenues and venues that he or she does. So you can't disregard what the employer wants. It's all important. But at the same time, often in today's job market, the employer finds an employee who isn't quite what they're looking for, mm-hmm. but they try to contort them and fit them into a box that's the size of the job, And the employee, I always counsel, don't do it. Do it when you find a box that's the size of you. And it's amazing when people, I used to do a two-week workshop, and when people took that workshop, I'd ask them about a half a year later what they learned from it, and they'd say, I learned to be picky.
35 years after you wrote the first edition of What Color Is Your Parachute, Dick, your book still sells some 15 to 20,000 copies a month. Did you have any idea at the time that this book would get so big?
Not a chance. I did it for a few of my friends, and I thought that was the end of that.
Mm.
I self-published it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold about 2,000 copies in the first year because they had to write to my office, which was at that time in San Francisco, and asked for a copy of the book and send me the $6.95 that it cost at that time.
Mm.
And I would go down to a local publishing, actually copy shop, and they would bind up the next 100 copies for me, and print them and bind them up with a spiral binding. And I would wait until I'd sold out those 100, and then I'd order another. It was very much a hand-to-mouth existence as far as the book was concerned.
And did you come from the world of employment advice?
No. I looped into this world. I should say limped into this world. I was the canon pastor of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco at that time. And I was I was there for about a year or two, and then I was let go because they had a budget crunch. Today we'd call it a downsizing, but those words weren't around in those days.
You mean they were telling the truth back then?
Yes. Yep. So the book suddenly took off, and by 1974 it was on bestseller lists everywhere, and then it finally got on the New York Times list, and it lasted there for 288 weeks in a row. And then they redid the list and with new categories, so it didn't appear much after that, but it still sells exactly the same number of copies.
Mm.
It's over 8 million right at the moment.
Dick Bowles, you've been publishing your book, What Color Is Your Parachute, for 35 years now. How old are you today?
Today and today only, I'm 77 years old.
Congratulations. From our probably motley fool business viewpoint, you created a cash cow that just kept cranking out valuable milk for a few decades. Have you sat back and just milked it?
No, because, you know, my orientation is that of a minister. I'm no longer ordained, but I was for 50 years.
Okay.
5-0. So I was always looking at it as trying to help people, and I always, from the very first edition, put my name, address, and telephone number in the book so that anybody in the world could get a hold of me.
Mm.
And so I quickly developed a one-to-one relationship with people, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. And that thrilled me much more than the idea I was going to make any money from it.
That's absolutely wonderful. I'm sure people over the years have been surprised to receive a personal response, since I'm sure a lot of times people just assume it's just some big corporation they're putting in their address. Dick, do you have any memorable people or incidents where you've talked to somebody over the phone or received a letter over the years?
Well, I had one cute letter from a woman. She said, I read your book, and to tell you the truth, it's a little too thick, and I had trouble finishing it, but I particularly resisted the idea of doing any of the paper and pencil exercises that are in your book. So what I did is I went and watched television, and she said, I finally asked myself, which of all these people that you ever see on TV is doing work that you would like to do? And it turned out to be a woman that ran a children's program. And it was a nationwide children's program. So she went to her regional television station, mm-hmm. and she said, why don't you have something like this? And they said, well, we don't know. We've never thought about it. So they thought about it. And finally they said, yeah, we'd like to do it. And so give us a sample script or layout for the program. So she did. And they said, would you be willing to be the interlocutor and the hostess for the program? She said, sure. So then she ends her letter to me by saying, so I'm in the ideal job of my dreams and my life, and I never even had to do one of your exercises. She was so proud of that.
Dick, I want to close with our game. We play a game on the show called Buy, Sell, or Hold, and in it, I'll be throwing out things happening in our business, employment, our culture, and ask you if they were stocks, would you be buying, selling, or holding right now, and a sentence as to why. You want to play?
I'll be terrible at this, but I'm game for anything.
Wonderful. Let's start off with the importance of an MBA degree for potential business leaders. Buy, sell, or hold?
Probably hold. The most value we get from an MBA is the discipline of the mind. And if they're better disciplined on how to gather data and make decisions, then their MBA is valuable. But if it's just another thing to hang on the wall, another credential, I don't think it's very valuable today.
Next one up for you, the phrase, speaking of parachutes, golden parachute, buy, sell, or hold?
I would sell. That's an abortive, what shall I say, a bastard phrase that got born out of the title of my book. And the thing is, of course, my book is all about self-reliance. It's doing for yourself what you can do and figuring out what you need to know. This idea, the golden parachute, was that somebody else does all the work for you and you sign up. And if anything happens to your job, they give you your future by paying you vast amounts of money. It's just an anathema phrase to me because it's so contrary to the whole spirit of my book.
So there may be many colors to one's parachute, but according to Dick Bowles, golden should not be one of them.
True.
Well, the phrase "know thyself" was scrawled on the Greek temple at Delphi in ancient Greece. And today, what color is your parachute? Living the same mission, helping Americans know themselves before they go out and find a job. Dick Bowles is the author of the classic career book, What Color is Your Parachute? A Practical Manual for Job Hunters and Career Changers. He joined us from his home in Alamo, California. Dick Bowles, thanks again for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
You're very welcome.